This is Andy Rainey, pastor of Blue Ash Community Church, and on this week's podcast, we continue our series, Stories. This week, we look at unbelief. To listen to more podcasts like these, simply subscribe to our iTunes or head to our website, www.blueashcc.com. Good morning, how are you?
Morning.
How's the yard work coming along in everybody's houses? I'm a little sore this morning, a little tired. My wife finally got me out to do our yard, so if you drive by my house now, please do so in the next couple of days, because at least we can show you we can keep a nice, or get a yard nice. We can't keep one very long. Life's too busy. Hey, before we jump into the message, just a reminder, in a few weeks, we're headed to Haiti. It's hard to believe, literally, like 2.5 weeks, we're going to be in Haiti. So start praying for the team. There's 13 of us going. But if you'd like to help with donations, again, no pressure. You can see Crystal. She'll be out at the information table out in the lobby with a list of items you can help us with. But again, no pressure on that. Well, my name is Andy Rainey. I'm the pastor here at Blue Ash Community Church. If this is your first time here, thanks for coming. We're glad you're here. We are pretty late in the game in our series Stories. We've got a few weeks left. And so we've been looking at different stories of the Bible, lots of them about Jesus. All of them are Jesus-centered, whether it's he was part of the story or he's telling a story. And there's something powerful we all know about a story. A well-told story, whether you hear it, whether you read it, or whether you watch it, can do something in us or to us. It can change a perspective. It can move us emotionally. It can challenge maybe a belief that we have. And so we're looking at these stories and go, what did they mean at that time when Jesus was telling the story to those people? And what does it mean now? How do those stories still relate today? And how can they still challenge and change and shift and mold us into more of who Jesus was and what Jesus is still doing? So we've been doing this week in and week out. If you've missed any of them, I really encourage you to go back and check them out on iTunes, or you can go back on our Facebook page and watch the live video as well. This week's story, we're going to be looking at where this particular person had an unbelief. He had some doubt. He had a lack of faith. And he overcomes that unbelief or that lack of faith. And this is a story I believe resonates with a lot of us. This movies make a ton of money off of this kind of a story. For instance, The Matrix. If there are any Matrix fans in here, am I like the only one? Like, if that's, well, that's one of those shows, if we're channel surfing and it's on, we're stopped, we're watching it. But Neo overcomes the unbelief that he is the one. And he overcomes that. So if that could be a spoiler, maybe I should have said spoiler alert. Anybody not seen The Matrix? Yeah, okay. I was waiting for the younger people in the room to raise their hand. Matrix, what's that? Beauty and the Beast is another one of those stories where the Beast has this doubt that he's ever going to find true love. We see TV shows, for instance, like The Biggest Losers. There's lots of doubt that they really can overcome everything that they've had in their life to lose the weight. Survivor, if you watch that show, we still love the show. Lots of doubt being overcome in that show. It's great storytelling, great way to insert yourself in the story, and a lot of us can resonate with some of those things. The reality is some of us walked in this morning with lots of doubts, with lots of unbelief, and maybe today you're doubting that you could ever be forgiven. Man, what I did can never be forgiven, or you have this doubt that you could ever forgive them or her or him what they did. Maybe you could doubt that anyone could love you, that you'll ever be happy again. Maybe you doubt that you'll ever live a day, a week, a month, a year without some sort of anxiety or depression, that that's just going to be something of who you are, and you doubt you can ever get past some negative thoughts about yourself or negative outlooks amongst your friends and your family, your circumstances. Maybe your doubt that you're truly loved, that God can love you. Maybe you doubt that God is truly good. Maybe today our hope is that, like Neo doubted he was the one, that you overcome your doubt and you realize who God is, who Jesus is, who he was, and what he can do when we're in a relationship with him. So we're going to jump right in. If you have your phones or your tablets, you can turn on the YouVersion app, go to the events tab on that app, and you can follow along all the verses, all the points, or you can simply follow along on the screen. While you're getting there, Jesus and his few of his disciples have been up on this mountain. They've been kind of talking. They have this appearance by Elijah and Moses, and they come down from this experience, and they see the other disciples are in this conversation, and that's where we're picking up the story. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the first four books of the New Testament that simply tell the story of Jesus' life, and this is the story written through the lens of Mark, and it says this: when they came to the other disciples, so they've come down to the mountain, they see the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing about?" Jesus asked. So again, insert yourself into the story. They've come down from this great experience. They see the disciples are arguing with the teachers of the law, the most influential people in the community. They're arguing with them, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And Jesus asked the obvious question, hey, what's going on here? What are you guys arguing about? I'm going to imagine when you're arguing with the most influential people, the teachers of the law in that context, is like us arguing on social media. I'm sure it's bearing much fruit. I can't imagine, just like in a Facebook feed where you're going, you know what, you make some great points. I'm convinced you are right, I am wrong. I'm sure this back and forth is just happening. I just imagine this being a little more heated than we sometimes think when we're reading Scripture. Sometimes we get lost, especially if you've read this a lot. You just read it like, oh, of course this kind of stuff happens. But sometimes we forget. Like, imagine you walked out of here, and all of a sudden you see these groups of people, some of them your friends, arguing. And you're going over there, and you're going, hey, what's going on over here? That's the kind of environment that Jesus and these other two disciples have walked into. And someone in the crowd responds. The next verses say, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Lots of stuff going on in here. Again, it's easy to read this if you've been around church or been a Christ follower for some time and go, okay, so there's this spirit, you know, gnashes at the teeth, foaming at the mouth, blah, blah, blah. But we, like, imagine again if you walked out and saw this. There's something abnormal about the normalcy of what's going on here. Like, yeah, this is just what's going on. I think we would be a little more freaked out, but this is everyday life in biblical times. They would see this a lot in Jesus' day. And it doesn't tell us what they're arguing about. We have no idea what the argument is about. What we do know is this man has asked the disciples to remove this spirit, rebuke it, and they couldn't do it. So are they arguing because they couldn't do it? Are the disciples going, you know what, it's because of sin in you as the Father, that's why we can't drive out this demon? Are the disciples saying it's because of your son? He's done something terribly wrong, so he'll never get this spirit out. It's not us. We have no idea what this argument is, other than it's going back and forth. It seems to be pretty heated. This man, this father, is somewhat frustrated by their lack of ability to cast out, to drive out this spirit. And it's also interesting, at the very beginning of this, it says, teacher, I brought you my son. He doesn't say Jesus, he doesn't say Son of God, he doesn't say Messiah, he says teacher, which tells us he believes Jesus is a great communicator. He can teach the biblical principles of Scripture, but he doesn't necessarily believe that he is God, that he is the Son of Man, that he is the Messiah. He's Jesus, he's God on earth. He doesn't believe that. He simply says, teacher. And Jesus hears this man's plea. Hey, this is what I brought my son for. This is what's not happening. What's going on here? And then Jesus responds. Listen to the response. Again, insert yourself in the story. You're an observer or you're the father. You said the disciples couldn't do it. And Jesus responds, you unbelieving generation. You unbelieving generation. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. I mean, you can almost hear the frustration in Jesus' tone and his voice. Like, seriously, guys? We're still here? Like, you've seen me do, you've been a part of so much at this point, and you still can't do this? Like, just bring me the boy. Like, well, how far away is the boy? In close proximity, I'm guessing, but he's like, just bring me the boy. I mean, he sounds frustrated. That's how I read it. You can hear the humanity in Jesus at this point. Now, around my house, if I'm frustrated, I will do this. That's my cue. Like, all right, I'm hitting a minute. Like, I need a minute here. I'm hitting my limit. And before my son could really say frustrated, he'd say, Daddy, don't get flusterated. And it was cute, and it's just a reminder, like, yep, my son is very acute to my outburst of, I'm about to lose it here. I need a minute. I got to take a breath, take a step back. We don't know either what Jesus is directing of you unbelieving generation. We don't know, is that directed to the disciples? Are the disciples hearing it like, oh, we're the unbelieving generation? Is it to the Father or to the Son? Is it to the entire community? What is this frustration? Why is Jesus saying this, and who is he saying it to? How long shall I be with you? How long do I got to put up with this? Just bring me the boy. All we know is Jesus seems frustrated, and the story continues. So they brought him the boy. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asks the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," the father answered. "It has often thrown him into a fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Now, again, I've read this story, it seems like 100 times. But again, put yourself in the middle of this. Pretend for a moment you're Jesus. "Bring the boy to me." They bring him. The spirit sees Jesus. He falls to the ground. He knows, the spirit knows what's going on here. And Jesus is like, this is all happening right in front of him. He's like, "So how long's he been like this?" And you're like, that just seems odd, really. Like, all this is going on, and he's going to ask a question like, "So tell me about this. How long has this been going on?" And you can almost hear, like, the passion in the father's voice. He's like, "Well, from childhood, it's often thrown him into a fire or water. It's tried to kill him. And if you could do anything, just take pity on us. Please do something." He's like begging Jesus to do something. You can hear the desperation in this father's voice. And here's the thing. Only thing he believes is Jesus is a teacher, which means he believes that Jesus can teach the scriptures. But he's heard, obviously, all the stories of what Jesus has been doing. Because he says, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Now, the reality is, many of us walked in here and we don't have a son or a daughter that needs a spirit rebuked. We might believe they do, but not in the context that we're reading it. But many of us, personally, we have a habit we can't break. That's the spirit in us. No matter what we've done, we cannot break the habit. We have a life that's so closed off to others, nobody really knows who the real you is or the real me, because we're so closed off. We won't let anybody in. We're not going to get hurt. We're not going to get judged, so we'll just keep people at arm's length. We have a hurt or a pain that's just debilitating us, whether that's an emotional pain, it's a physical pain, but whatever that is, it's just not allowing us to live life as we want to live. We have a jealousy, maybe. This jealousy that we just can't seem to move past. Whenever we see them or we see him or we hear about what they're doing, this jealousy burns in us and we can't move past it. That's the spirit. That's the demon in us that we cannot overcome. Maybe it's a loss we've never recovered from. When they moved on or when they moved away or when they divorced you, or when they broke up with you. We have a pain we can't escape, a regret we can't change, a shame we just can't seem to move past or hide from, a past that seems to always come up in the present, forgiveness we can't seem to offer, a hurt we can't heal, or a tension we just simply can't solve. That's the spirit many of us are walking around in. And we're asking God, we're asking Jesus, if you can do anything. I've done everything I know how to do. I've asked the disciples, in quotes, everybody that I know how, or everybody that I know who, to help me with these things, and they just can't seem to get me over the hump. And so we're asking the same question, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus hears our plea, just like he heard the Father's plea. And he answers. The story continues. Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. If you can. He didn't say some things are possible. Or that one time. I mean, if you ask it in this way, then that thing is possible. It says everything is possible for the one who believes. A very pointed question. This is a statement that is in the form of a question, which simply says this: do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe Jesus can do anything? Not some things, not for them, but anything in your life and through your life. Do you believe it? Do you believe that no matter what happens, God is still good? Even if he doesn't do the very thing you hope, but does it in a different way, allows those things to still happen, do you still believe God is good? Do you believe it? Do you have hope that God will use everything, good or bad, for his kingdom? That's the lying underlay of this whole statement and question. Do you have a hope that God will use anything and everything for the good of his kingdom? The Father hears this. If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. The Father responds immediately after Jesus asks the question. It says this: immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." In other words, help me believe in you, Jesus. Help me see you as who you really are. Help me understand and believe that you can do all the things I've heard about, all the things I've seen, all the things I've read about, all the things I want you to do, that you really can do everything. Now imagine you're the father. This is, we're inserting ourselves back into this story. When I read this, I don't read it with a guy going, "Yeah, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." I mean, there's an explanation point after this. So there's passion behind this. It's like, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Like, you can just hear the tension in it, like the excitement and just the urgency of this moment. I just imagine the father's eyes are teared up, like he's about to just break down. He's pleading with God for his mercy and his grace, just to do something. As the tears are rolling down, he's overcome by his own disbelief, and he says, "Jesus, help me overcome my unbelief." And it's at that moment, I believe, Jesus sees past the previous unbelief, past the previous doubt. Long since has passed Jesus' frustration of the moment of, "Just bring me the boy." He sees a humble man, a broken man, in his right standing, realizing who Jesus really is. The crowd's running, Scripture tells us at the beginning of the story. Jesus looks around, the Scripture says. Listen to it for yourself. Jesus responds, "When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene." How big was the crowd? We don't know. Big enough to see that there's lots of people coming to see what in the heck's going on. Jesus rebukes the unpure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," Jesus says, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked. Wonder what that sound was like. "Convulsed him violently and came out. And the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, 'He gone.'" "But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up." I mean, just picture that. Jesus rebukes the spirit by a single word. Just out. And the spirit is driven out. This is the power of Jesus. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of God at work in us and through us. Jesus saves even when all other possibilities have been tried. When we expend everything that we know, all resources, all people, and we still can't, he still can. Jesus does what only he can do. Man, I wish I could just learn this. I am a slow learner when it comes to this. I want to do everything that I know how, all the talents, all the gifts, all the people that I know, and then often Jesus is the last resort, which sounds like has happened with this father, instead of the first resort. I think that's why Jesus is so frustrated. Like, just come to me first. The disciples witness all of this. He sees what only Jesus can do. And they're like, "Man, we've done some of this kind of stuff. I wonder why in the heck we couldn't do it. Like, was it a lack of faith? What was going on that we couldn't do it?" And so they ask Jesus. After all this has transpired, all this has happened, Jesus does what only Jesus can do, rebukes the spirit. He's gone. And it says this: after Jesus had gone indoors, people have gone away, his disciples, his small group of people, asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Jesus replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." Boy, I get convicted on that one too. Like, this is the one area, and you're like, "Well, you're a pastor, you're supposed to pray." Well, like, I do pray, but it's not something that comes naturally to me. It's not like the first thing that I think of. I have to discipline myself to do this. And I'm growing leaps and bounds lately. I'm starting to see some things that God's opening up to me, but it's something I have to do purposefully. There are many of us that are just gifted that way, but this is a learned skill for a lot of us. Jesus says, pray, ask God for help. Ask God to help with your unbelief. I think that's a great start. God, just help me with my unbelief. I want to believe that you can move here. I want to believe you can do this. I want to be set free from my spirit, in quotes, that's taken me hostage. Help me believe that you are the way. You are the one that can do it. When things are hard in my life, when things aren't going well in my life, when things happen that I don't want to happen, I honestly lean on this scripture the most. God, help me with my unbelief. Help me overcome my doubt. Help me overcome my lack of faith. Help me overcome my unbelief. The reality is, in this story, the package is nice and pretty. It's got a bow on it at the end. The Spirit is driven out of the Son. Everything happens the way everybody wants it to. That doesn't always happen. And we can pray for things and pray for things and pray for things, and they never happened. I'll give you one example. It's a small example. Like, I have prayed for healing for people, I don't know how many hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. Never happened. Last year in Haiti, we're at this orphanage. We're playing soccer. They team you up with a kid. They love soccer. I'm not very good, but I can kick a ball. I can run. I can cheat a little. Hey, I'm a lot bigger than they are. Well, Kathy, who's, you know, attends Blue Ash, she was on this trip. Her and her little girl were sitting on the sidelines. She's really lethargic, this little girl is. Playing soccer, she's like, "Hey, Andy, feel her head." I mean, it's 95 degrees. You're already hot. So I'm like, and she's like, "She is burning up." And she was hot. Immediately, like, well, you just pray for her. That's what we do. So I'm praying for her. "Hey, God, come by the power of your Holy Spirit. Just heal her." Off I go to soccer. Like, my belief factor in anything, honestly, was like one out of 10, maybe. Like, well, that's what you do. You pray for somebody that's sick. Off I go. So then we're all crowd in the orphanage afterwards, hearing from the director and the site person there, Mr. Kelly. Kathy comes up and goes, "Feel her head. Cool to the touch. No longer lethargic." Like, God had healed her. It had zero to do with me. But God healed her. God used my unbelief in that moment. And she was healed. The next day, she was fine. The next day after that, she was still fine. In a moment, God used my unbelief to heal her. It really had nothing to do with me. The point is, I had prayed for healing hundreds of times before, and I've prayed for healing in a year easily hundreds of times before, unless somebody's not told me. That's never happened again. Like, I've not prayed for somebody who was sick or had a broken arm or pain, and it's immediately been released. But God used that time to do it. So there's something to prayer. There just something is. Do I believe she would have been healed had I not prayed? I don't believe she would have been healed unless somebody would have prayed. I believe Kathy could have prayed. I believe another kid could have prayed. But Jesus said this one can only be driven out by prayer. So some things only happen via the vehicle of prayer. What's your prayer life like? Are you praying enough? Do you believe? What's your unbelief? Have you asked God to come in and see and heal and change your unbelief? That's a good story. But we could share, if I had a microphone and we passed this thing around, we'd all have 50 hundreds of stories of things that didn't happen. I prayed for it, it didn't happen. The reality is, that's life. There's a great song that I've just literally been wearing out the last 6 weeks or 7 weeks that it's been on the radio. It's by Mercy Me, and it's called Even If. And I'm going to try to get through this without crying, but I'm already feeling myself kind of tearing up. But the lyrics go this way. I know the sorrow, I know the hurt, would just go away if you just say the word. That's the heart. Like, we know, Jesus, if you just say the word, all of it is gone. But then this is the powerful part of this song. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow, I know the hurt, would just go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. And that's what it all comes down to when we walk with Jesus. Jesus can change any circumstance in our lives with just one word. That's the power of Jesus. Jesus, like the Father, is begging us to come to him with all of our troubles. Just come to me. Just come to me and trust me. He can even help us in our unbelief, where we don't believe, where we have doubt. Jesus can help fill those gaps. So the question for all of us is, what are we asking for Jesus? What do we need from Jesus today? Will you ask him? Will you ask him? Will you bring whatever doubt you have to him, whatever troubles are going on in your life, whatever spirit you have in your life, will you bring them to him and still say, even if you don't, my hope is you alone? Can we do that? And if you're like, I'm not even sure I can get there, will you ask God to help you get there through prayer? Man, if there's like two things I could ever impart in people, like, what are the two most important things? Like, there's so many important things about just being in a relationship in general. We get this lost when we think of Jesus. Like, just do what you'd naturally do to build any relationship. But if there's two things, well, talking to somebody's a key piece to any relationship. It's hard to have a deep relationship with anybody if you're not communicating at some level. So prayer is like paramount. If we can just start to pray to our Father in heaven. That doesn't mean you need some religious language. It's just how you would talk to anybody. That's how God wants you to talk to him. And read your Bible. I mean, it's just, imagine if you had a diary of your spouse. Would you read it? Like, you could learn so much from them. Like, all their learnings, all the things they're about. I mean, I would read it. Not for some gossip, but just to get a better understanding of who they are. Read the Bible. You're going to just hear story after story. When you read scripture, when you read through the Bible, you'll hear this theme, redemption. That's all he does is redeem. That's it. He takes broken things, makes them new. I believe many of us this morning walked in and we need new pieces of ourselves. There's some broken stuff in us. We have these spirits that we need to be rebuked out of our lives. Will they still show their ugly head? Yep, probably. But we have a God who with just one word can change everything. And even if he doesn't, our hope is in him alone. He is the ultimate redeemer. We need to trust him that he knows best and that he will use anything and everything for his kingdom. Grab your Connect cards that you would have received in the program when you walked in. If you didn't grab a program, in the seats in front of you or for you in the back row, in the seat behind you is Connect cards. Fill out what you're comfortable with in the front. We use this, as Craig said, for multiple purposes, but our main purpose is that when you fill out this front part of your Connect card, we believe you're saying, I am ready to take a next step this morning, that I want God to move in me. I want God to do a work in me. This morning we're saying, I want that spirit of whatever it is to be rebuked. I want to believe where I don't currently believe. And so we have next steps on the back. We may offer a next step that doesn't resonate with you, you may have your own next step. Simply write that on the Connect card, drop it in the bucket when it comes by in just a few minutes. We can follow up wherever you have questions, but we pray for these. I pray for these every single week. That's one of my disciplines, is to pray for all the next steps. So if you have one, please write that down. The first next step this morning is simply accept Christ for the first time. Maybe you've walked in here and you just haven't put yourself over the edge of belief. You're like, I kind of believe, but there's still this gap. I still want God to do this, this, and this, and this, and then I'll believe. Maybe today as you go, I'm going to ask God to help me with that unbelief. I'm all in. I'm going to be as all in as I can be, and God's going to fill in the gap of unbelief. as it relates to your faith in Jesus. If you've made that decision, write that on your Connect card. We have gifts for you. This is for anybody, not if you just made a decision. But if you have there's the Next Step book that can help you with your next step as it relates to your relationship with God. And it talks about prayer life and reading your Bible and how to share your faith. Just read what's important to you. And then there's free Bibles in the back as our gift to you. Just grab one on your way back and grab a coffee mug if you don't have one. Maybe this morning you need to ask Jesus for help. You've done everything you can do. All your talents, all your gifts, everybody you know that could help you with the problem, with that, quote, spirit that's going on in you. But you've yet to come to Jesus. Maybe this morning you come up for prayer. You pray it, in your seat. You ask somebody that you trust around you to pray for you. But you ask Jesus for help. And many of us have this growth edge, which is number 3. That even if he doesn't, we're going to say, my hope is still in Jesus. Even if he doesn't do exactly what I want him to do, even if he doesn't rebuke that spirit in me or in them, my hope is still in Jesus. And then this one's been here all series. Like we have 3 weeks left of the series. Come as much as possible. Because I believe that when you hear more stories about Jesus, you're going to have questions you never had about Jesus. You're going to be thinking about Jesus more, not because we're great, but because he is. You'll start to stir some things. You'll start to see some things. Your perspective will change. We give our life to Jesus. Those same problems we had, all of a sudden we look at with different set of lenses and go, wow, I hadn't seen this possibility before. That's the Holy Spirit that works in you. That's God's Spirit that lives in us when we say yes to him. So no longer is it a relationship about who he was and what he did. It's about what he can do in us and through us through a relationship with him. We'll have prayer teams up here. Be honored to pray for anything that's going on in your life. We have communion tables, 2 in the front, 1 in the back. The crackers represents Jesus' body that was broken. The juice is Jesus' body or Jesus' blood that was shed. You take the cracker, you dip it in the juice. You come up individually, come up as a couple, as a small group, as a family. You don't have to come up at all. This is really between you and Jesus. This has really nothing to do with us and everything to do with you and Jesus. Let me pray. God, thank you so much. God, thank you for this story. God, I know personally it's a story I need to be reminded of over and over and over. God, where there's unbelief, where there's doubt, God, you're even big enough to fill those voids. You can fill in those gaps. And God, there are things that only you can do. God, because if we could have changed it, we would have. And so many of us this morning need you. We want you. And so God, where we're saying, help me with my unbelief, wherever that is. God, come by the power of your Holy Spirit. Just come, speak to us, move in us, remind us of who you are and what you can do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're free to get prayer and communion.